Today, my voice is continuing to fail a little bit with me, so y'all just have to bear with me a little bit. Tomorrow is a very special day. Tomorrow will be the 25th wedding anniversary for Zach and Kathy Trotter. 25 years. And if you want to see a good-looking couple, Kathy has a picture of them from years ago when Zach had a lot of hair. Y'all will definitely want to see that, but be sure and congratulate this beautiful couple on 25 years of married life. Has it always been easy? I don't know. It has for Zach, but I don't think Kathy's had an easy time at all. I think Zach's been kind of hard to live with, but anyway. Well, she's an Alabama fan. He's an Auburn fan. You know, it's tough. It's tough. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to talk about how to stay faithful. There's two different points that we could make tonight. I'm going to go one direction. We could talk about individual faithfulness, and that certainly is included in what we're going to talk about, but I'm talking about as a faithful congregation. How to stay faithful as a congregation of the Lord. Now, we have a lot of churches that are experimenting with the Scriptures and taking some liberties, doing some things to try to be relevant, to try to draw people in that are not authorized in Scripture. Now, Henry and I we've shared with one another dreams, nightmares, that we've had. I shared one that y'all had the other day about Danny and myself getting into a fight and Henry having to fire me. Because you can't have a preacher trying to beat up one of the other men of the congregation. It just doesn't work like that. I had a dream worse than that some time ago. I dreamed that whoever was making announcements called on Amy Bates to lead the opening prayer, and I looked at Henry and he was okay with that. It's like, okay, what is going on? Henry had another dream where he'd been gone from Tanner. This had been a long time. And he came back, and there was an organ up in the front. And there was this, it was just so different. Everything was just so different. It was just one big mess. So we have nightmares trying to make sure that not only does Amy not lead the opening prayer, but that the preacher don't fight with one of the church members and we don't bring an organ in and stuff like this. But it's important that the church remain faithful. That's vital. That we be faithful to the Lord. That we be faithful to God's Word. That we not allow ourselves to fall victim to the mentality of we've got to change in order to remain relevant. The gospel is as relevant today as the day it was spoken almost 2,000 years ago. It's the same power that will save men. It's the same message that brings men in contact with the blood of Jesus that takes our sins away. There's been no change at all. Time comes and goes. Cultures change. People are pretty much the same no matter where they are or what time in history they may have lived. But the reality is that people don't always respect God's Word like they need to. And so Peter gives us five things that we can do as a church to stay faithful. And many of these will apply to individuals as well. So let's examine together these passages of Scripture. First of all, verses 1 through 4. In order for us to stay faithful, we need good leadership. Now, when you talk about leadership, obviously you're talking about elders, but it's more than just elders, isn't it? Every Christian is to help lead others to Christ. Every Christian is supposed to be a leader in one respect or another. We understand that. But he starts talking about elders. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who have also been elders." So there's proof that Peter was serving as an elder. And he says, "I also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Peter is right in this with the rest of us. And so he instructs the elders, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not being forced to do it. I don't have a choice. I have to do it. No, not being forced to do it, but willingly. And not for filthy lucre, not for any profit that you might gain from it, but of a ready mind, willing to serve, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but rather being examples to the flock. If Henry and I stood up before this church and told you what you need to do to serve the Lord, that message is still true. But that if we told you what to do and then we sat down and watched and didn't involve ourselves in doing it, then we would not be following the instructions of our Lord. We are to be examples to the flock. And so you follow us as we follow Christ. That is the imperative here. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. All right, so we need good leadership, both from the elders, but also from the membership. As we encourage one another, as we try to show others, not only by the things we say, but especially, particularly, by the things we do and the way we live our lives, that we are truly Christians, that we are serving God ourselves. And so we lead people to the Lord. The second one is that we have a lowliness of mind being in our spirit, humble as individuals. It is amazing. If you ask kids in school, what does it mean to be humble? They don't have a clue. They don't know what that word means. And it is scary to me that I've asked a number of adults through the years, what does it mean to be humble? And they don't know what that word is. What is humility? What does it mean to be humble? Well, brethren, Peter says in verses 5 through 8, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And by the way, the elder is not the elder of the church, but older members. You younger, submit unto the elder and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You want God on your side? Then you better be humble, because he resists the proud. If you're a proud person, if you're all caught up in yourself and puffed up with pride in yourself, in your own spirituality, your own strength, your own determination, and your own skills to get to heaven to serve the Lord, if you're caught up with yourself and you are proud of yourself like this, you're not going to have God on your side. You're going to be in opposition to God because he resists the proud. Do you want God's grace? You need God's grace? Yes, you do, and I do too. We all need God's grace. Then you're going to have to be humble, because God not only resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So it's imperative that we be humble before the Lord. And then he goes on to say, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Are you willing to bow down? Are you willing to bow down? I'm talking about to bow down before someone. Will you bow down before someone? Huh? Will you humble yourself like that and bow down? Well, you may not have to do that before another person, but will you bow down before God? Huh? That's the question. Will you bow down before God? If the Lord God were to appear in this room tonight, right up here, would you bow down before him? I think you would. I think you would. I think you better, because he is the Almighty God. We better humble ourselves before him. Then he goes on to say, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. There's an admonition now, a warning about this humility. He says, be sober, be vigilant. You got to be clear-headed. You got to be paying attention. That's what sober and vigilant means. Be clear-headed, pay attention. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So you better have God's help in you. You better be humble before the Lord, because the devil is trying to consume you. He's trying to destroy you. So you better stay humble before the Lord so that God is near to you. You cast your care upon him. He cares for you, because your enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So you need to be lowly of mind if you want to be faithful as a church. And if you want to be faithful as an individual, not only do you need good leadership, and you need to practice good leadership, But you need to be lowly before the Lord. Lowly of mind. Not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. We must be humble before the Lord because the devil is trying to destroy us. And he will use pride to do that if we let him. The third one is that we need to be loyal in the faith. Loyal in the faith. Loyal to God by keeping the faith. Now this is going on about the devil, but watch this transition. Your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. How did Jesus resist Satan? How did he do it? When he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, how did he resist Satan? He spoke God's word. He spoke the word of the Lord. He used the scriptures. If you are steadfast in the faith, that's how you defeat Satan. You're not going to defeat him by trickery. He's the master of tricks. You're not going to defeat him by raw strength. You're not going to defeat him by will, by sheer will, or by mental agility and intellectual prowess. You're not going to defeat him that way. You're going to defeat him with the faith. You're going to defeat him. You're going to overcome his temptations by sticking to the Word of God. That's how you'll do it. That's where the strength is going to come from. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you resist steadfast in the faith. You do not waver from what God has said. You don't do new innovations that change what God has said. So we're not going to bring an organ in here. And we're not going to be all doing all these changes that people are doing all over the place. We're not going to do that. But rather, we're going to be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're all in this together. Faithful children of God are all dealing with the same struggles, the same problems. We're all dealing with the same things, the same challenges to our faith. And it's the same solution for every single one of us. Remain steadfast in the faith. Be loyal in the faith. Number four, verses 10 and 11. We need to be leaning on the Lord. Now, folks, I'm all about standing on your own two feet. I'm all about us bearing our own burden. The Bible tells us that each man shall bear his own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden. Jesus said, that's in Galatians. Every man, now we bear one another's burdens, the troubles that we face, but our responsibility, each person must bear their own burden. Jesus said you must take up your own cross and follow him. You have to do this yourself. Nobody else can do this for you. But you need God's help to do it. You need the strength that comes from above. You're not strong enough to hold out for a lifetime. You're not. You may have great faith. You may. But you're not strong enough to hold out for a lifetime. You got to have help. And God offers that help. We've got to lean on him. So verse 10 and 11, but the God of all grace. Peter gives us a prayer. He's praying for us. He's praying for all of God's people throughout the world. But he issues this prayer at this time. We got a light that's still off. Let me get that thing. There we go. That's better. I knew something wasn't right. Y'all feel like you're in the light over there now? All right. Here's the prayer. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The Lord make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It is God who will establish us, who will strengthen us, who will settle us. When we feel like the world is rocking underneath us, when we feel like we're in a landslide and we're sliding down the hill, or we're in an avalanche and we're trying to survive and we're sliding down the hill, it's the Lord that will settle us. We are to build our house upon the rock, not upon the sand. It is the Lord that will establish, strengthen, and settle us. So we need to lean on Him. Don't ever forget how much you need God's help to remain faithful as a church and to remain faithful as a Christian. And then the last point tonight, I kept you long this morning. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Love the brethren. Love each other. How does a church stay strong? There's love there. You take fighting and bickering and squabbling, murmuring, complaining, jaw jabbing each other. There's not going to be a lot of strength in that church. And it's not something that's going to last. But when we love each other, we really care about each other, you can stay faithful to the Lord. This church can stay faithful if we love one another like we're supposed to. Paul starts, he ends this chapter by talking about some brethren that are faithful to the Lord. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. And so does Marcus, my son. Greet one another. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. These beautiful words, as Peter commends certain individuals and a couple of congregations, he's commending them to one another for the love that we're to have, the love that we're to share. We're to help each other get to heaven. We're to care enough about each other, to confront when there's sin, to encourage when we're down, to weep when we weep, and to rejoice when we rejoice, to be happy for those that are celebrating, and to grieve with those who are mourning. We are brethren, we are family. And how will this church stay faithful? We're going to love each other, brethren. We're going to love each other till we die. We're going to love each other till Jesus comes back. This church will always be here if we will continue to love each other like we should. So if this church will stay faithful to God as long as we have good leadership, both by the elders and by the congregation. This church will stay faithful to God as long as we remain humble before the Lord and before our fellow man, and don't allow ourselves to be all lifted up with pride thinking we are really some great thing, but stay humble before the Lord. That's how we'll resist the devil. We will recognize that we need God's help, and He gives help and He gives grace to the humble. And then we're going to be loyal in the faith. That's how we're going to resist temptation to sin. That's how we'll keep these changes from happening to us that are happening to so many. If we will remain loyal in the faith, trusting in God and following God's Word, and then we will lean upon the Lord. We will lean upon the Lord, putting our trust in His help, in His strength, that He will strengthen and establish and settle us. And that we can look forward to a home in heaven with Him one day. And we're going to love each other till we die. That's how we're going to stay faithful, both as a church and as individuals. Are you faithful to the Lord tonight? I'm talking to you as individuals now. Are you ready for the day to come when Jesus opens the sky and comes back to take His people home? Are you a child of God? If you're not a child of God, you've got to obey the gospel. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then repent, turn from sin, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized with water for the forgiveness of your sins, and let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. And if you've done that, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, whatever your situation, if there is any way that we can be of service to you, then without delay, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.